So we're good on battery here, I guess?
Complaints pretty loud if it gets too low. Yeah, that's totally fine. Yeah. I'll say like low battery and big letters.
Put them like right here. There you go. What are we doing here? Okay. These one-off classes are kind of interesting. You know, it's like you're teaching somebody who'd never taught this particular. But, you know, the people who are coming later in the week will benefit from the fact that I did it once. But then we switch it up halfway through, and the order changes. So then you'll benefit because I'll have done it kind of, because we don't do one on that Saturday all-day retreat, and then the order gets reversed.
How'd they go on Thursday?
The smaller group. Oh.
Musical.
Yeah. So this is our group.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Poor Nancy may have to charge an apology.
Yeah. This is our second grief class, and I think we left off at the end of the last class considering a question or two, such as... And you have been working on this. You actually each wrote an essay on it, right?
I've been studying resistance to grief, that I just can't always think about it.
If I fully experienced my grief, I would. Yeah. So, in a sense, this class will be exploring that and trying to get... some sense of how to get more insight into the full shape of our grief and how diverse it can be outside of how we usually might feel about it as being sort of just a solid, impenetrable thing that we don't have much of a way into. I benefit here from communicating with Flo Rubley up in Canada on this. She taught a class on death and dying with a section on grief, and she sent me a nice essay by Stephen Levine, which I pulled some good insights from, and also a guided meditation that we'll do a little later on from him. But a quote from that essay is, "When we are in grief, we are no longer blind to our blindness. So, between the numbness that we often seek to keep so we can simply move through our days unaffected, and the blindingly bright awareness that on rare occasions shows us that we still possess the ability to be fully open and vulnerable, able to meet each change and loss with complete dignity and healing, there seems to lie a pretty wide gap. And in that gap, there are places where feelings coalesce into what seems like rigid and solid states, things we call fear, anger, despair. When grief comes up strongly in our lives, these rigid feelings are often sharply accentuated. We feel our pain, our anger, our despair acutely. They seem to engulf us as if from nowhere, and it often feels as though just the prospect of going on with our daily lives is fraught with a new inertia. Mostly, we seem to choose to avoid the difficulty of managing the feelings. We move usually towards the numb end of the spectrum, imagining that in doing so, we have resolved the feelings, or at least cleverly sidestepped them so that they will not affect us. And yet sometimes grief is so acute that even this numbing seems impossible to achieve. Once, I lost a long-term relationship. And it seems now in hindsight that it was for the best that it ended, but of course this was not what I was telling myself about it at the time. For about 4 months, I woke up each morning, and the very first thing that would happen as the reality of waking life coalesced back into my mind and sleep departed was a crushing sense of loss, and I would wake up crying. Coming from sleep, there was little I could do to avoid this. It simply happened each morning before I was awake enough to have any other reaction. It was soon apparent to me that the intensity of emotion I was feeling really didn't have to do fully with just this one person. As the reality of how the relationship actually had not been working seeped into my mind, I began to see events of the previous number of years in a completely new light. In moving through this process, I now see that the early morning emotional outbursts were a sort of a gift. I would not have felt the depth of the sadness in another way as directly as I could coming from the vulnerable threshold of sleep. Being somewhat not in control of the process then, it just kept happening. And as this went on, I could see the quality of the emotions I felt shift. There was an expansion of space around it all, almost a forgetting of what the pain was all about, just an intense awareness of the sensation itself out of any context. Eventually, it simply transformed, like clouds moving up the rising currents of air along a huge mountain. A new level was reached, and cumulus simply transforming into cirrus or into vapor. When some invisible threshold was finally reached. Now, nothing like this morning visitation of feelings happens to me anymore, but how the shift happened, I really can't say. But the process of going through the shift is something that did seem quite evident. There was a full exploration of the feelings, at first solid and overwhelming, but increasingly familiar, and because they were unavoidable, accompanied by a sense of surrender. This, I believe, is a critical shift where grief brings emotions into such sharp and painful relief that avoidance and numbing out are impossible. We might believe that we want to avoid this kind of thing if at all possible, but that is clearly not an option anymore. So surrender becomes our new mode of dealing with the feelings. There were many times when some people in my life during this period of time would wonder if perhaps I should try to find some way to let go of such intensity of feelings, search out a way to move on. From my perspective at the time, this seemed like a potentially good notion. But since it simply was not possible, not really an option. Grief had me in its clutches, and riding it through was the only way to go. Now, I see the whole time period as something I'm glad to have gone through. I know that something changed in me. Change was unavoidable. In deep grief, the same protections, judgments, resistances we have to our lives and the world become highlighted and painfully evident. If we are someone with anger to feel, then we feel that anger intensely. If we are someone with despair to feel, then the feeling becomes crushing and overwhelming. But the feelings themselves are not new. Instead, grief shows us our same old selves, but in a new, stark, and vulnerable light. For me, in losing a relationship rather than experiencing a death, it was easier to see this as true. I could not mourn over the loss of a life and have that existential level of denial and bargaining that flirts with the borderline of everything we don't know about death. Here, the other person had left, and by all reports, was doing just fine. I was the one going through the whole process. It was easy to see that there was no traction to be gained in wishing her to be having a similar process, some sort of just parity of emotions. In breakups, the central reality is that the relationship has disconnected, that it is clear that separate and completely different emotional processes are simply part of the territory. Where you once worked out difficulty together, now you were alone. So, grief seems to be inseparable from the whole set of emotions connected to it. Fear, despair, anger. As you go into it, it actually feels as though those clunky labels don't really serve anymore. Along the continuum from grief to gratitude, there is no discernible seam or transition point. Anger becomes an energy without an object. Despair becomes a field of unknown depth or dimension. Fear becomes a pervasive awareness of danger without anything indicating what to be afraid of. The energy of the emotions themselves becomes the primary guide. The feelings come strongly without bidding, and the process is somewhat automatic. Now, in the process of grieving, we see what we did not see before. We see our fears, our judgments, and our self-pity with complete clarity. Our usual blindness is revealed. Our usual avoidance techniques lose their abilities to distract us. And we come easily to understand how our grief is not isolated and singular, but is instead a pervasive part of our lives and of the world around us. We see the background grief of our life, the homesickness we always have for just this present moment, just the moment right here that we can never seem to fully be with or in. Often part of what causes so much pain is the sense that we never really had what it is we have lost. We both become more accepting of the fact that we can never really possess anything, and at the same time, we appreciate so much more any connection we do seem to possess. And if grief is weathered through, we begin to find a new sense of what life means to us. We have lost something, or someone, and everything that remains, which at first all seemed gray, and completely unable to fill the void of our loss, becomes now seen with far more appreciation. our continual sense of separateness gets derailed by greed, which encourages us and even demands us to become more open to our lives and connections in the present. In this way, grief is a gift, but a gift that must be unpackaged and assembled. It doesn't come to us ready-made. It's something we each need to work with in whatever form it presents itself. However different it may seem than another's grief, however different it may seem than anything else we would prefer to be experiencing, the form grief comes to us in is the only form we have to work with. And it may be, we might find as we go along, somehow the perfect form for us after all. This is the wisdom that our emotions can present. So the task then is to find some way to touch into that and get clearer about what it is we are feeling. What is the texture, the color, dimension of those emotions? And to surrender into that and have some intimacy with that, because in that sense, in that way, the emotion will, through that attention that we give to it, it will change and it will move and it will move us. So to do that, we'll do this guided meditation on grief. And I'll read this little introduction that Stephen Levine wrote for the meditation. The armoring around the heart is the accumulation of our grief. All the moments we have put ourselves out of our life, all of the times we have given ourselves and others so little mercy. On the way to healing the mind and body into the heart of the matter, our grief must be explored to go beyond the holdings of old mind and open in a brand new way to the potentials of this very instant. Some may be led to this meditation at first because they sense there is some unfinished business with a parent's death many years before, or the pain of the illness of a loved one remaining in the foggy shadows of the suppressed. Some will be drawn to this meditation because of the pain of unfulfilled dreams, the multiple losses of a changing world, or even unlabeled grief. It connects us with the tears and laughter and the moments unlived and unshed and unlaughed. One need not have experienced the death of a loved one in order to find this exploration a useful endeavor. It makes room in our heart for our pain and our joy and our life. There's a point on the chest, on the sternum, roughly between the nipples, about 2 or 3 inches above where the rib cage comes together, and it's the focal point for this process. It's a place where it feels sensitive. For some, it might be very sensitive. But for others, it might be hard to figure out where that might be. And so you might just choose sort of the likely spot and work with that. But this will be...
You say above the rib cage?
Where the ribs come together and go a couple inches above that. Yeah. On the sternum.
On the sternum.
Right on the sternum. Yeah. Huh. It's probably a little higher, Kathy, I think. Yeah. Yeah, it's the heart center. And it's the kind of place that when you're experiencing a lot of grief, feels hard, sawn, crushed down. Be careful if you have long fingernails that, you know, pushing here for a period of time, you know, use the pad of your finger, okay? So, hello?
Hmm?
No, this is a different class.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
That's okay. So let your eyes close. And as your eyes close, you feel your body breathing. Let your hand, your thumb, the tip of your fingers, whichever feels like a convenient part of your hand, to come to that place at the center of your chest, and push into it slightly. Don't try and create pain, but present some pressure, a slight amount of pressure, and feel your chest sort of pushing back a little bit. You just want to make a sensation there that helps you focus your awareness on that spot and keep it there. Keep the very slight pressure. Feel all that pushes back. Feel all that tries to resist, that denies the pain. All the armoring, all the resistance to life. Push into it. Let the pain into your heart. Breathe that pain into your heart, all those moments of self-hatred, all that anxiety, all those times you could just jump out of your skin. All those moments you wished you were dead, all held there, all pushing against the pressure, all denying life. Let the heart break. Breathe the pain into the heart. Let the pain in. Let yourself in. Push into it. It is so long since you fully entered into your heart. Feel the grief that lies there just beneath the tip of your fingers. All the loss. All the moments you couldn't protect yourself or the people you loved. The helplessness. The hopelessness. Feel it. Breathe that pain into your heart. Let go of the resistance. Let go of the self-protection. It's just too much suffering to be locked out of your heart. Nothing is worth it. Push resolutely, not causing yourself pain, but creating deep attention. Breathe into that. acknowledge that place which knows that all your children, all your friends will die someday. The place that knows you might die and leave so much undone. All the things you didn't say, all the love you didn't give, all the pain you've held on to right there, pushing back. Breathe through it. Let it in. Let it into your heart. Don't hold on. Let it in. The pain of the disasters in the world, pain of nature struggling, all those feelings that have been misunderstood. Of having been unloved right there in the midst of these sensations. Let the armoring melt into the center of your heart without force, without punishing yourself. Draw the pain in. Draw it in with each breath. With each breath, let your heart be filled with yourself, with so much that has gone unexpressed. Layer upon layer. Covering the heart. Let the pain in. Breathe it in. Breathe it in. Let the pain come and let the pain go. Have mercy on yourself. Let the pain out. Breathe it in and breathe it out. Let it come and let it go. So much held for so long. Focus the attention like a single point of light in the center of the pain. Go deeper. Don't try to protect. Feel the suffering there. All the loss held. All the fears. The insecurities, the self-doubt. Surrender into the feelings. Let it all come through. Allow the pain into your heart. Allow the pain out of your heart. Each breath breathing awareness into the heart. Each exhalation releasing the pain of a lifetime. Let yourself experience it. Nothing to add to it. Nothing to push away. Just see what is there. What have you carried for so long? The inevitable loss of everyone you love. The impotent anger of being tossed into a universe with such suffering. Fear of the unknown. Isolation. Lost love. Allow the long-held grief to melt. Bring it into a soft awareness that dissolves the holding with each breath. Let your heart open into this moment. Let yourself be fully born in the midst of the pain of it all. Allow awareness to penetrate into the very center. Feel the sensations and this point of grief as though it was a conduit, a tunnel into the center of your heart. Into a universe of warmth and caring. Feel the heart expanding into space, the pain just floating there. Fear and loss suspended in mercy. Breathe. Breathing into the center of the heart, let it go. Let the heart open past its longing and past its grief. Now take your hand away and lay it in your lap. Feel the sensitivity remaining. Throbbing at the center of your chest as if it were a vent into your heart. Draw each breath into that warmth and that love. Breathing in and out of the heart. Breathing gently into your heart.